It is day six of the Euros. And as you might hear in the background, there's rather a large crowd here. I am in Cologne, and Scotland are taking on Switzerland, and I have never seen so many Scots men and women in my entire life. Everybody is wearing a replica shirt. Every other Scotsman is wearing a kilt. I've yet to gather up the nerve and ask them, what's underneath, lad? But they are getting ready for the Switzerland game, and obviously it's a massive game. Switzerland won their first game, beating Hungary 3-1. Scotland, as we well know, got completely demolished by the Germans 5-1. But the sun is out, okay, because it was pissing down yesterday, and Cologne is just, it's on fire. I mean, you'd have to be here to believe it, but the atmosphere is, it's electrifying, and we are 7 hours away from kickoff. So can you imagine what it's going to be like in the Cologne Stadium? And incredibly, the accreditation guards have smiled. All right? I wasn't due to get a match ticket for the game tonight. I was going to have to watch it in the fan zone, which they've actually had to expand. There's now a street that's been cordoned off, and they've erected huge video monitors for the spillover, because there's close, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but I mean, it looks like it, but there's close to 150,000 Scots people. And there you can hear it. No Scotland, no party. I mean, it just really is, it's something so special. The early game is Croatia taking on Albania. I'm doing a match report for that. And then, of course, we have the hosts down in Stuttgart taking on Hungary. So it's a huge, huge day for Euro 2024. I think it's the day that the tournament is really... I mean, I think it's been on fire anyway. Look, let's be honest. I mean, last night, I'm still got goosebumps. And everybody I've spoken to are raving about the game last night between Turkey and Georgia. Just the most ridiculous atmosphere I've ever experienced. But I think tonight might match it, because the Cologne Stadium is another fantastic stadium that keeps the noise in, and with the amount of booze that these Scots fans are putting away, I think they might be in fine voice. So, well, we're going to try and speak to some people today. I got no idea what the quality of the conversations are going to be like. We'll definitely interview some people at the media zone. Yeah, maybe get some inebriated Scottish fans as well. Could be interesting. Anyway, I was going to talk to you about food and stuff, and you know, the sandwiches are great. I've not actually had a meal, which is it's quite something. Just haven't had time. Just on the road, and I just got word that I'm actually going to go to Berlin and Leipzig for a couple of round of 16 games, so I'm very excited about that. We got England tomorrow down in Frankfurt, still waiting on a match ticket for that one, so once again, keep your fingers crossed. But here in Cologne, it is Scotland, it's Glasgow, it's Edinburgh, it's Perth, it's Aberdeen, it's Dundee, it's all of them, and it's one mega party. Well, I've just made it to the stadium, got on the tram, but the tram took a different route to the one I was expecting. But I was with a bunch of people anyway, and we got off in the middle of nowhere and walked through a really, really nice forest to get to the back side of the stadium. It was quite beautiful, actually. Obviously, summer here in Germany, a lot of greenery, birds were singing. It's actually quite relaxing, very therapeutic. Anyway, here at the stadium now, and gonna walk out front and witness the carnage. And there's gonna be a lot of carnage, and we'll see if we can find some
maybe so Scottish fans to talk to.
Well, I'm at the entrance to the stadium. Well, it's not really the entrance to the stadium, actually. The where they've got it set up is there's this huge field, and there's a main entrance, and there's a bunch of gates. Well, they're not really gates, just fences put up, and fans are coming through. And it really is just a sea of humanity. Really quite an incredible sight. And everybody mingling together quite beautifully. Really is what international football is all about. And we'll see if we can find some Scottish and Swiss fans to have a chat with.
Brilliant. I'm on news.
Okay. What's your name and where are you from?
George Smart, Ross Douglas from Inverness.
What does it mean for you to be here supporting your national team?
Everything. Everything. Everything.
How much money have you spent to come here?
Doesn't matter.
About the money. It's being here. It's just being here with this fantastic crowds.
Well, I was in town earlier today. I don't ever seen anything like it. So explain to me, what does the kilt signify?
Our national dress. That's our national dress, and everybody loves a man in a kilt. Yeah, especially what's underneath it.
Not being rude.
Have you followed Scotland around the world before?
96. From 96 onwards.
So you've been to two events then?
Yes. And, well, two events, loads of games in between.
We've had a load of disappointment. What really pleases me, and I've got to be honest with you, is seeing all the young guys here.
Loads of young families. And
loads of young, loads of family. That's our next generation of Tartan Army, as far as we're concerned. We're in our 60s now, right? So our Tartan Army days are nearly done. But check them boys. It's all young boys. The team has just got some national pride back, and I don't know why.
So where do you think that? Where's it come from, though? I mean,
no idea, mate. No idea, because the team are normal, right? See when we beat Spain 2-0, we just got results out of nowhere. Right, we got results, and all of a sudden we're doing great stuff. It's like anything else in your life. See, if you're doing well at your work, people start to follow you, and that's what these guys have done. They've done well at their job, so we're here.
I go back to like 1978 and Archie Gemmill and Graham Souness and Bruce Rioch. Those to me were all world class players, and it seems like Scotland doesn't have the world class players anymore. Why not?
I've no idea, my friend, because we've got people who play at top class clubs, Liverpool, Everton, etc., Man United, and Celtic, who are constantly the champions of Scotland. I've no idea. I think we're generally a good team. I think Clark has gelled them. A blip last Friday, and we all got it. And we all felt for it, because we all spent a fortune going to Munich. But we're all here. This is their night. This is Scotland's test, because we're all here for them.
And what do you think the atmosphere in the stadium's going to be like tonight?
Terrible, terrible. We'll all just have a cup of tea and a pie, and then go to the smoking area when we go 1-0 in.
Without a doubt, one of my favourite interviews of the tournament so far. Just fans who absolutely love their country. Well, taking a break, gone back into the media centre and caught up with Andy Elliott, who is the media officer for UEFA, and had a chance to chat with him about his role and the tournament and UEFA's role in the tournament. So something a little different. So Andy, obviously a massive event here, 24 countries, almost like 24 different languages. How on earth do you keep tabs on everything and keep the whole operation running so smoothly?
Well, it's a big operation. I'm only a tiny, tiny part of it. But my colleagues who work for UEFA 365 days a year. They're everywhere, you know, based all over the country, some still back in Neon. And the planning has been in for years to get it right.
You mentioned a certain name, Platini. He wasn't happy with how the media comms was going. How did you get involved?
Well, I dealt with UEFA a lot in my previous role as a journalist. And then David Farrelly at the time, who was head of comms for UEFA, he and the former president, Michel Platini, felt that UEFA needed a more close relationship with the media. And so they came up with the idea of putting people actually in the countries where the media was important, was most vocal. And I was the guinea pig, really. And then we now have somebody in Italy, Spain, Germany, the big media markets. And our job is a combination of monitoring what the media is saying, alerting Neon to any issues that might be cropping up, and then answering any media queries, so helping the journalists with their job. So.
What do you find are the biggest challenges? Because obviously, you know, I'm here as a journalist, and it's pretty stressful. You know, you're going from stadium to stadium. There's very little time to eat, let alone sleep. And I'm sure you get some very flustered people. So what are the biggest challenges journalists face, and how do you deal with them?
Well, you know, we have a team of operational people looking after the media. And, you know, their job starts months ago in terms of accreditation. They do a fantastic job dealing with queries from all over the world. So when you think, you know, they come to now a match, there's a hell of a lot of work goes into that beforehand. So that's the media operations side, and those guys do a brilliant, brilliant job. My role is more media relations, answering queries, you know, if there's an issue, putting out statements, getting press releases out to the right places, keeping the media fed, basically. The media like to know there's somebody on the end of a phone. So the worst thing you can do is not pick up the phone or not answer their email or not answer their WhatsApp. And half the battle is just having that relationship. Because I've been around the block a few times, I know a lot of these guys. I've worked with them. I've employed some of them in the past. So I know them really, really well.
It's interesting that you use the term feeding the media, because the media's appetite is seemingly insatiable. How challenging is it to continuously give the media what they want, though? Because it always seems to me that it's the classic, you give them an inch, they want a mile.
Yeah, absolutely, but you can only answer the question that's put in front of you. If we can't answer it, we can't answer it. We give them what we can tell them. That we know at the time. There's never any suggestion you try and mislead them or deny them anything. That satisfies them some of the time, not all of the time, but a lot of the time.
What do you love about the job?
Just meeting the people and being among football. You know, I've been a sports journalist for well into 40 years plus. And I just love being around journalists, around football, around the game. Most of my job is being in my office, answering queries on my laptop or on my computer. So the chance to come out for a few days and meet the media doing their job, it's absolutely invaluable to me, and it's a great buzz as well.
And you've covered many tournaments. Do you have a particular favourite?
I really enjoyed France. That was, you know, a Euro done in one country. Lots of it focused on Paris, but a chance to get out and see people as well. But this is shaping up to be just as good.
And obviously you're English. Soft spot for the Three Lions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm of the generation that's had, you know, more than 50 years of hurt. So it'd be nice to see them win something before I shuffle off this mortal coil.
Any chance it's going to happen at this tournament?
I hope so, but, you know. You know England. England could go out next week. They could get to the final. It'd be lovely if they won it. I'd die happy then.
Andy Elliott, a top man, and hopefully he's going to be my guardian angel when it comes to getting this ticket for the England game tomorrow. Come on, Andy. Come in there. Well, kickoff just minutes away, so let's head off into the stadium and give you a little flavour. So we're going to try something that we haven't done before, and that's do some match analysis while the match is happening. I'm not sure if it's going to be too loud, but we're going to give it a try. Switzerland definitely pick up the pace and knocking the ball around quite nicely. However, Scotland got a lot of confidence at the moment. Just played their way out of trouble with four or five passes, very un-Scottish-like. And I got to say, the Scottish team is growing in confidence. That goal by McTominay has certainly done a lot to settle the nerves. And Switzerland now have to chase this game. I think that's going to play into Scotland's hands. And 23 minutes in, halfway through the first half. And, Scotland, no party. No Scotland, no party. That's what they heard. That's what they're saying. It's an absolute horror show. A mistake as big as a house, as the Italians like to say, by Anthony Ralston. And he let in Shaqiri, who belted one in the top corner first time. What a finish. Left gun, no chance. And Scotland, master of their own demises there. Absolute tragic mistake by Ralston. But to be fair, Switzerland were getting on top. But what a finish by Shaqiri. Oh, the little man with that left foot. Woo! Got to say, Scotland really living on luck right now. They've been totally outplayed by Switzerland. Got to find a way to get on the ball and keep the ball for a little period of time just to relieve some of the pressure, because it's one-way traffic right now. Swiss looking dangerous at every opportunity. Come on, Scotland. Well, 45 minutes in the books and half-time analysis is something like this. Scotland are a very limited team. They desperately need a number 10. They need some creativity. You know, Billy Gilmore's a lovely player. He gets on the ball, he keeps things ticking over. But he's got no one to give it to. You know, Andy Robertson makes some forays down the left-hand side. Nothing really down the right, and Shea Adams, you know, runs his bollocks off up top, but there's just nothing there. And one opportunity, they did score. McTominay got a nice deflection off Shah, but McTominay will claim it. But overall, Switzerland are by far the better team. By far. Better footballers, better ideas. I mean, they deserve to be back in the game. They should actually be winning the game. Gunn has made a couple of terrific saves to keep the Scots in it. Of course, Ralston makes the mistake as big as a house. But what a finish by Shaqiri, though. The little wizard who once plied his trade at Liverpool. First time curler into the top corner. It was just absolutely gorgeous. So I think Steve Clarke has obviously got a lot of work to do. Would Scotland be happy with a point? It wouldn't be the worst result in the world. I'll go with a prediction of 3-1 right now, but football's a funny game and the best team doesn't always win. Halfway through the second half and Scotland have created absolutely nothing. Switzerland have looked dangerous. Maybe this is a chance, though. Billy Gilmore. It's Akanji in the back. First shot in the second half. Unfortunately, Scotland have lost Kieran Tierney. His injury woes continue. Looked like a nasty one as well. I think he's done for the tournament. Right now, I think Scotland would happily take the 1-1. I did predict the Swiss to win 3-1. I'm going to still hold true with that, because I do think if they get the opportunity, they will put it away. Although, this is crazy. Scotland have been much the better team for the last 20 minutes. What do I know about football? And so, 90 minutes in the books, and it finishes one apiece. And a couple of chances at the death, one for Switzerland, and I can't believe that Amdouni didn't score. An absolute sitter at the far post with his head, but he missed it wide. And then there was a great passage of play from Scotland. McGregor, great ball into the box. Robertson knocks it across the six-yard box, but no one could get a touch. And yeah, finishes up 1-1. So how did it finish 1-1? Well, football's a very simple game. Switzerland lost their way, and Scotland simply outworked the Swiss. Last 25 minutes, they outworked them. Switzerland, a far better team, much better technically, but they got outworked. And 1-1's a fair result. So Switzerland pretty much guaranteed to move on. Scotland still alive. If they beat Hungary, who knows?
Well, we do know this, that Scotland have recovered from that Munich mauling and they are still alive in the tournament. That's it for day 6. I'm absolutely knackered. It's time to go home. Tomorrow, off to Frankfurt. England taking on Denmark. They're not even watering down the beer, supposedly. So, could be a hairy afternoon slash evening in Frankfurt. I'll catch up with you all